Oh, for the golf lover in your life. A new book they can add to their collection from the one and only Rick Riley. The book, So Help Me Golf. And Rick Riley joins us right now to talk about it here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Does it make you feel better to see the Mavericks turn ice cold?
No, it makes me feel worse.
Thanks for that, Rick.
Yeah, hey, Riles, before we get Riles, before we get started, do you remember the night back in the day in Cleveland when we were partying in the flats and we saw that dead body pulled from the river? Do you remember that night?
Dan, who forgets a night when they pull a dead guy out of the river? I mean, how many dead guys do you think I've seen? Jesus Christ. I'll never forget it. Oh, he came out like he was huge.
Yes.
He looked like Chris Christie or something. It was terrible.
That was unbelievable. And the thing about that story that was unbelievable, Vinny, Riles, during his illustrious journalistic career, he had this ability to get behind the ropes. Like, you'd be at a Super Bowl, and all the journalists would be here, and there would be Rick standing over there with the players, and we go, how in the heck did he get there? He had this magic to make himself invisible, and he did it that night. He
just walked
by. Yes, he walked by all these fire personnel and police, and he's right next to the dead body.
Oh, I know, that was nuts. And also, do you remember when Tyson fought Lennox Lewis, and he was saying before the fight, "I'm going to eat your kids," and he was just a maniac. And,
yes,
and then he got knocked out. Right, and somehow I got right in ringside next to Donald Trump. And
wow.
He got knocked out, and he was like, his eyes were a million miles away, and he was searching for his mouthpiece, remember?
Yes.
And they counted him out, and somehow I was the first guy in the locker room before anybody, and it was just Tyson in there, and they'd cut his gloves, and he was holding his little six-week-old baby. And I'm like, somebody needs to get child services.
Yeah. Oh, great stuff. All right, let's you were at the PGA yesterday. All right.
No.
I want to ask you.
No, I'm on book tour.
Oh, you're on book tour. Okay, well, you were engaged with. Okay,
you know, it's sweeping the nation.
Right, exactly. The PGA Championship, getting JT to win is a big deal, but the Phil Mickelson story is everywhere. The Tiger Woods story is everywhere, and it really speaks to the need that golf needs an alpha male to kind of to dominate, to give somebody to chase. Your thoughts on the state of all of that, especially regarding Phil Mickelson?
Well, first of all, I've known Phil for about 30 years, and he always says dumb crap. He's a great guy, but he says dumb crap, and he says it out loud. And it seemed to me the way he was talking in that book was how he talks when he thinks he's off the record. So I don't know whose fault that was, but he clearly thought he was off the record and saying his usual dumb crap. Like, one time he says to us all, are we guys wearing sunblock? And we're like, yeah. And he goes, well, sunblock's worse for you than sun on your skin. The sunblock is going to give you cancer. We're like, no, that's really stupid. And then remember when he said, I'm not fat. My fat is subcutaneous. And I'm like, everybody's fat is subcutaneous. Shut up. So he's really great. He tips, like, he comes to my club in L.A., carries his own bag, but he takes a caddy to get reeds and stuff, and he gives the caddy $600. He's a really generous, wonderful guy. Meanwhile, Tiger's still waiting to give his first tip to a valet. So I like Phil, but you're right. He totally brought this on himself, said some really stupid stuff, and now he's paying the price. Tiger is a great story, but I'm afraid it's over it. The only chance I see him to win a major is St. Andrews, where it's flat and you can hit it anywhere. And those are his two weaknesses. He can't walk and he can't drive it straight. But there, he could drive it anywhere.
Yeah.
So that to me, he's got a chance there, and then that's about it. But yeah, alpha male. We keep waiting for Justin Spieth. Jordan Spieth. We wait for Rory. We thought Dustin Johnson, who's, you know, as I say, is so dense, light bends around him. But still, he could be the dominant. Morikawa could be the next guy, but you're totally right. They need an alpha male.
Yeah. Rick Riley, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line, author of the new book, which is out on shelves now, So Help Me Golf, Why We Love the Game. Not your first foray writing a book about golf. Tell us about this one, Rick.
First of all, thank you guys for having me on before my signing there at Changing Hands in Tempe. It really helped. Oh, no, you screwed me. I had 11 people. It was like, and one guy was just there to eat the cookies. It was terrible.
I read that anecdote.
I know you had things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this book is, you know, because, not to get serious on you, but my dad was a drunk golfer, and he'd come home, and it was hell when he would come home, and we'd all have to hide. And so that was not a, I always hated golf for that reason when I was a kid. But at 13, my brother, who's 6 years older, took me to a range and said, look, it's fun. And I have loved the game ever since. And so I started saving great, true, funny, or emotional stories. Like, have you guys ever played La Hinch in Ireland? There's a, at La Hinch in Ireland, a goat follows you around, for one thing. And for another thing, the fifth hole is a blind par three. You cannot see the green. So you got to hit it over this hill, and the drunk greenskeeper puts the rock where you're supposed to aim, but it's usually they're not the right place. But anyway, then you come around the hill and see how you did. Well, in one day, in the space of an hour and a half, four guys made holes in one, and it was the greatest night in the bar's history. And the bartender's making more money in a single night because everybody, you know, per tradition, has to buy everybody drinks.
Right.
And the whole town is in there, and all the caddies, I think even the goat is having a drink. And it's the greatest, it's the greatest night ever, until the bartender's wife comes marching through the front door with their six-year-old son, and she marches the kid by his ear behind the bar, and she says to the kid, you tell your da what you've been doing this fine day, you rascal. And the kid goes, oh, I've been putting golf balls in the little hole.
Oh. What a story that is.
So it's that kind of story.
Oh, that is great.
They're about the length of my columns. And some of it is about as my, about my screwed up life and how it finally got straightened out. And some of it is about some amazing, like, did you know in the 70s there was a guy robbing banks on tour?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, this guy named was Ricky Meisner. And every time he'd miss a cut, he'd get mad, put on a disguise, change his license plates, and rob a bank in order to stay on tour. In 77, he led, I found it, he led the Tallahassee Open for the first day. He was ahead of, you know, great players. And he said later in prison, I thought that would be when I could finally give up robbing banks. But instead he went 78, 80, 78, the full John Daly, and got mad, robbed a bank the next week without the disguise, and went to jail for 25
years. Wow. All right, before
he
before...
did leave the tour. He led the tour in money without ever winning a game.
All right, before I get to my last question, I want to apologize. I didn't know we did you dirty, but at least that guy was waiting there for the cookies. He had a good selection of cookies to choose from.
God, well, I know. You had some son's problems.
Yeah, totally we did have some issues with that. All right, here's the last question. Tell the story when you were determined to go get yourself a hole-in-one, and you were going to golf as long as it took to do it. I love that story.
Well, it started with this goddamn nun. There was a 92-year-old nun who made a hole-in-one on her first day playing golf, and I'd never had one, and I'd been playing since I was 13, and I got sick of it, and so my buddy let me sort of rent his par 3 golf course, which nobody was playing because it was the heat of the summer, and I decided I was going to keep playing until I made a damn hole-in-one, and I hit 10 balls per tee box. My son was out there with a first baseman's glove, and I was paying him $12 an hour, and we go 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., nothing. So he's like, I said, Jake, you got to come back tomorrow. I'm like, oh, Dad, come back the next day. We go all through lunch, no, nothing. Finally, at 1:54 p.m. on the 794th try, one goes in, and I come running into the bar, and we go crazy. I'm like, I'm going to buy you a drink. There's one guy sitting at the bar. And he goes, why, what'd you do? I said, I made a hole-in-one. He said, how far? I said, 51 yards. And he goes, well, that's not a regulation hole-in-one. It has to be 100. I'm like, dude, I got a kid with a baseball glove. I'm hitting 10 shots a tee. What part of regulation do you think I give him?
That's great. Boy, that is great.
Oh, that sounds like a great read.
I can't wait to get into
it. It's called So Help Me Golf, Why We Love the Game by Rick Riley. Rick, thanks so much for joining us. You can get that, by the way, Amazon, or it's on shelves at bookstores everywhere.